WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Happy All-Star Game week to everybody out there. I remember when the All-Star Game used to be relevant, and then it was irrelevant. But one thing I will say, and I'm going to begin this segment with this, because I was burping this guy back then. Luke Jones joins us now. Where were you on July 13th, 1993? I know where I was, Luke Jones, but it is unbelievable that it's been 30 years since I ran into Geddy Lee at the buffet at the Maryland Science Center at the All-Star Gala. I found in looking through all this stuff for our 25th anniversary, which we'll be celebrating with our friends at the Maryland Lottery. So somewhere around here, I have a lottery scratch-off I can hold up. You know what? I'm going to get the whole banana out here. I got the Window Nation hat that my wife has washed and starched, so it actually fits now. Looks better than that floppy hat did with the Orioles because it's one color. And, of course, the Maryland Lottery. We'll be giving these away at Coco's on Thursday. Next week on Thursday, we'll be at the Beaumont in Catonsville. Then on August 3rd, we'll be at Costas. August 4th, we're going to be at Drug City. This guy has some old Get Nasty t-shirts in his. Where were you? July 13th, 1993. You, your dad, your brother watching on TV. Is that what you were doing, Luke?
Yeah, watching on TV. I can remember back in those days. Of course, the Home Run Derby was not the spectacle that it's become over the last 20 years.
It was embargoed.
It was a Monday afternoon tape
and
delay.
It was embargoed. Yes.
Yeah. So taped to late, and I remember watching the recording of that that my aunt had kindly recorded for me. I did not have cable when I was 10 years old in 1993, but hey, I remember watching the All-Star Game on TV. I remember Kirby Puckett and Ivan Rodriguez hit one that got stuck in the wall in left field, and certainly remember Cito Gaston and Mike Mussina warming up and the controversy that created, but it was just such a phenomenal event, a phenomenal showcase where you and when I was 10, I wasn't realizing this at the time quite as much. But when you kind of look back at it, when you considered what had happened in Baltimore over the previous decade and losing the Colts and wondering if a new ballpark was going to be built and this jewel downtown and the fact that Camden Yards was a little over a year old at that point in time. I mean, what a fantastic showcase for the city. And to see all the stars, I mean, Michael Jordan was in the celebrity game and everything going on. It was just a magical few days for the city. And even
Bill
at
Murray
10 years
old. I took a picture with Bill Murray in a Cubs gear.
Jerry
Walker took the picture behind it. That picture is sitting somewhere. When the Orioles get sold to friendly people who actually let me in, it's the only thing I'm going to ask. Can I just go to find the archives of Jerry Walker stuff that you stole from the Walker family that Scott Walker had to sue you guys to try to get the pictures back that Jerry took? I never saw the picture, by the way. So 1993, Jerry's like, hey, take a picture of Bill Murray. I'll get that to you. Yeah, that looks good. I never. Forgot it. So. That's my lost soul. I did my All-Star Gala ticket, so I have that. And Michael Jordan, I met Michael Jordan in the National League clubhouse. I remember when he walked in his white Sox. I saw the picture of him and Cal floating around. Cal's in the Oriole black warm-up, and I thought, that had to be yesterday that I was in the locker room seeing all this. No, I remember when John Kruk walked in sideways. I asked him to do a bumper for me. He said, I don't speak English, man. That's what he said to me.
That's funny because Kruk does
later,
all the Phillies
remember,
games today.
A punchline from John Kruk.
Oh, hilarious. Like I said, he does the Phillies games today, and you know, I have a chance to see some of that. As you know, my brother-in-law is a big Philadelphia sports fan, and hilarious. But so many special memories from that week, even if you just watched it from afar. I mean, I did not get a chance to go to the All-Star Fan Fest or the Gala or Home Run Derby or the game or anything, but it was special. Even as a 10-year-old, you could recognize that was special for the city. So certainly hoping one day, hopefully sooner rather than later, but we've been through that and we'll continue to talk about that as far as Camden Yards getting another All-Star game. But to bring it back to the present day, the Orioles having four players that are going to be playing in this game, or at least on the roster to appear in this game. Adley Rutschman doing the Home Run Derby. And as we mentioned, the spectacle that is, it really is cool. It really is special. Austin Hayes, you know, as an injury replacement into the starting lineup, you know, after being selected as a reserve, it's going to be cool to see the Orioles featured and showcased in the way that they are. And they had some of this 6, 7, 8 years ago. They had some teams back then that, you know, multiple all-stars, but to have this, for it to be young players, for it to be their guys, so to speak, it's pretty special. And to know that There are more on the way, and guys that have made debuts here recently, and others that we're going to see in the next, in the coming months, and certainly the coming years. It's a really exciting time to be an Orioles fan, and this All-Star game, I fully expect over the course of Monday night, with the Home Run Derby, with the All-Star game telecast, with all the coverage, you're going to be hearing the experts talking about the Orioles, and they're going to be talking about them in very glowing terms. How could they not when you're talking about a team with the third best record in baseball at the break? So it's just really fun in that way. And it's crazy to think it's been 30 years since 93. And certainly over the last 30 years, there's been a lot more bad than good, a lot more bad than good as it pertains to on the field and everything. But this is an exciting time for Orioles fans, and that's where it's a night as much as well as the team was playing, and you don't want to go into the break when you have a 5-game winning streak the way that the Orioles took care of business in Minnesota. But it is fun to take a step back for just a few days and realize it's been a really fun season. It's been a really fun calendar year going back to last July, and boy, there's a lot of exciting baseball ahead here over the next 3 months.
Do we not talk about Austin Hayes enough? It feels like we don't, right? I mean, it feels like this is a time I should give you some oxygen because I don't know that we talk about him much at all. And I don't know whether he's part of the furniture. When I think of great teams and I think of, the Michael Jordans, well, we talk about Pippen and you talk about the other guys a little bit, but it's been Rutschman's show and Hayes got here earlier and Mountcastle has been sort of, not healthy this year, not right this year, all of that. But Hayes is, he's the star of the stars for this week, right? I guess there'll be a point where Rutschman will be the All-Star game starter for years to come and this and that. But Austin Hayes batting 300, chasing a batting cra like all of this going on in this year feels like he's gotten lost in a lot of this, at least until the last couple of days when we could talk about him a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's been lost as much as when you're the guy that's the elder statesman, and it's funny to say that, right? And I mean, not the elder statesman in the way that Kyle Gibson's the elder statesman for the 2023 club per se, but the guy that's been around the longest. I mean, this guy made his major league debut late in 17 when you still had Machado, you still had Adam Jones, you still had Jonathan Scope. You go down the list of most of the guys that from that era, I mean, the only guy that was really gone at that point was Matt Wieters. So he got a cup of coffee at that point in time. And, we've talked a lot about Cedric Mullins and what he went through a few years back, and thinking back to him being optioned, even down to double A, he had struggled so much in 19. Austin Hayes wasn't so much that he struggled, but just the injuries, right? He couldn't stay on the field. At 2018 had injuries, and the new regime comes in, and you always wonder what a new front office and a new coaching staff is going to think of a player. So it took Austin Hayes time to, one, he needed to get healthy, and two, to really show that he was going to be, a core guy at least for the time being. I'm not sitting here saying that they're going to give Austin Hayes a contract extension and he's going to be here for the next 8 years, but he's been really, really good. But the one thing I will say, and I was even talking about this with another reporter on a recent homestand, the one thing I will say is go back and look at what Austin Hayes did in the first half last year. Obviously, Adley Rutschman over the second half of the season and the club playing so much better and Gunnar Henderson coming up, and there was so much excitement surrounding all of those factors. But Austin Hayes really was their most valuable player in the first half last year. And in fact, you can go back and I wrote about Austin Hayes right before I went on vacation in late June, just like I do always do, and was talking about the fact that he was their best player. And what happened? He hurt his wrist and he really struggled over the second half of the season. So now, fast forward to this year, going in, so much talk about the young guys, and we've already seen Colton Cowser and there are other guys on the way. Heston Kerstad could be here before the season's out, and see where he factors in. But Hayes was one of those guys you're kind of wondering, is this the year that he kind of surrenders a starting role, so to speak? Does he kind of move to the background even more so because of some of the young guys? And it's been the opposite of that. He's been one of their absolute best players. He has led the American League in hitting for a large chunk of June and into July, and talking about the potential for a batting title and all of that. I mean, very few 300 hitters in baseball anymore. And the fact that he's hitting 314 at the break, says something, for the kind of year he's had. But he's just that guy that it's funny to say because, he's not this grizzled vet that's in his 30s, but my goodness, he was around for all the losing of the post-Showalter, even the end of the Showalter era. He was around for
He
all
looks
that, in
older than the
some
rest of
capacity.
them. When they
So
show him, he looks more like a man. When I see Jackson Holliday running around, looks like a kid. Looks like he wouldn't let him in the bar. So I see all these young people. He looks like, he looks like he's out of Central Casting as Corbin Burnson or something. And I don't know that you and I for 6 years that we've mentioned him a whole lot or talked about him a whole lot because he's not Adley Rutschman. I mean, he's not a 1-1 and all that stuff. But I don't know that we ever thought he'd be an All-Star game starter either.
yeah, I think it's difficult short of a first overall pick or short of a Gunnar Henderson who became the top prospect in baseball. I don't know if you anticipate that really for anyone, unless you're talking about where the Orioles have been too many times over the last 25 years, really, where, well, you have your one All-Star game rep. I mean, Ty Wigginton was an All-Star for the Orioles one time. So beyond that scenario, yeah, I don't know if you ever thought Austin Hayes was going to be that guy. I'm not going to sit here and say that I think this is the first of many All-Star games for Austin Hayes per se, but
You had to come up with
he's been
Ty Wigginton.
rewarded.
Did you just do that to me? Did you just drop that in here like that?
Whew, I had to. That was the first Orioles team I covered back in 2010, the year Tremblay was canned, and Buck comes in August, and they play better late in the
You
year.
wanted
But
the
that was.
gig. You know what I mean? You thought teaching fifth graders was,
So, but I mean, it's Austin Hayes has had a great year, and you love to see someone rewarded for that, whether it's going to be his one time or maybe he makes it at another point in time over the next couple of years. But he absolutely has had a fantastic year. And when you consider where the Orioles have been, and this is one of the things that excites me most about this club, and we talked about it in a previous segment. You mentioned it, Grayson Rodriguez hasn't gone the plan. DL Hall hasn't gone the plan this year. Ryan Mountcastle hasn't gone the plan this year. Cedric Mullins gets hurt and misses, what, 3.5 weeks. It's not as though everything's gone perfectly for the Orioles this year. I mean, John Means has the setback, and they haven't had Dylan Tate and Michael Givens all year. Two guys that you were kind of thinking with Batista might be their three best relievers. No one was talking about Yennier Cano back in spring training, right?
Well, that's
And
why
he's an
if we put all this
all-star.
together in
But for
September, even
Hayes
without
to
a
do
trade,
what
you can
he's
believe,
done.
you know?
No question, no question. But for Austin Hayes to do what he's done in the background of everything else that's happened, and certainly so many things have gone well, but not everything perfectly, for him to stay healthy, and you knock on wood, because that's, like I said, he had a great first half last year and gets hurt and unfortunately really struggled over the second half of the season. So it was good to see him get back on the field. Good to see him hit a home run on Sunday as part of the blowout win over the Twins. And it's going to be really cool to see him in the starting lineup in the way that it was 2 years ago for Cedric Mullins. I mean, these are the guys that, they were not top five prospects in baseball, like some Jackson Holliday or Rutschman or Gunnar Henderson. These are guys that struggled. These are guys that got, either sent back down or dealt with injuries. And these are guys that really grinded through so many losses and played with so many other placeholders and so many guys that were has-beens or never was and all of that. We know the names, or maybe we've forgotten them by now. So for Austin Hayes to get this kind of an opportunity, one, to be on a club like this finally, where they better make the playoffs at the very least at this point in time when you're 19 over at the All-Star break. And for him to have an opportunity to be recognized in Seattle this week, to be in the starting lineup, even if it's because of an injury, it's that's pretty special. And having talked to him a lot over the last few years, you just said it. He does bring a veteran presence that's a little beyond his years, kind of because you have to, because you've had so many young guys. I mean, how can you not? You need someone to take on that role in a way that I'm not comparing him to him as far as how good he is, but in the way Adam Jones took on a leadership role in his late 20s, at a time where, okay, yeah, they'd have a Nelson Cruz come in for a year, or they'd have, someone like that for a year or two, but, he became the leader. He became one of the veteran presence type guys to go along with a Markakis, a JJ Hardy. Austin Hayes has been one of those guys for this current club that still so young at so many different spots.
But
So
you have to be good
it's
to
been
be a
cool to see
leader,
that. And
right?
again,
You
he's
have
had a
to be good.
terrific year. You can't be the 26th man on the roster and be a leader. Now, you don't have to be the best player all the time, but you've got to be a good player that's going to command some respect, command some attention. He doesn't, he wouldn't say he's necessarily even an over-the-top rah-rah kind of guy, but he's been through. He was through the 110 plus loss seasons. He went through that, and he was, hurt through some of those times and struggled through some of those times. So when you have a guy like that, you have a guy like Mullins, guys like him, that those two who have been around, and they were drafted by the previous regime, so nothing was assured of them when they arrived. And we saw that with Cedric Mullins, especially back in 19 with being demoted. They earned their stature within this organization. And to see where they are now, Mullins having been to an all-star game and probably would have been going back there, if not for the injury, which, has kind of derailed him just a little bit here. You expect him to have a good second half. But for Austin Hayes, it's pretty cool. We'll talk about Rutschman. I mean, my goodness, Felix Bautista has just been unbelievable. Yennier Cano has been just one of the best stories in baseball. But yeah, let's not overlook the fact that Austin Hayes took a lot. Buck Showalter used to always say this. Guys that took a lot of bullets, guys that took a lot of bullets from a losing perspective. He talked about that in the pre, Dave Tremblay era and all of that, when Buck arrived. Austin Hayes is one of those guys that took so many bullets. So for him to get this spotlight, for him to be on this kind of club now, you have to feel good for a guy like that.
Luke Jones is here. He will be there when the Orioles return to action here this weekend against the Miami Marlins, who are pretty good, by the way. A little upside down in the National League, and my Padres still stink. We're going to play all the entire Major League Baseball schedule before it's all over with here. So we're going to see everybody, American and National League. We'll see them all on Tuesday night. Of course, Austin Hayes starting for the Orioles, and the Adley Rutschman dad home run. By the time people listen to this, that will be over with and whatever. But the fact that Rutschman's involved in this, and they tried to get the votes, and they did all the, I mean, the bottom line is the fan base here is just starting to reawaken a little bit, especially when you see the Yankees, just how many people were in the stands last Monday and Tuesday when they were winning. And Cincinnati coming back to life, right? I mean, what that kid's doing, stealing second, third, home, the whole thing. He was here 2 weeks ago. You got a chance to see him play before you went on vacation. This is an interesting all-star game. The sports had a bit of a renaissance because games get over 2.5 hours now. Our team's good. We're relevant. Football's still on break for a little while. These are the good days for the Orioles, and I don't know how many tickets are going to sell or people are going to come down, but this is where that momentum gets going. And forget the lease. I'll get to that and the federal money. I'm not going to bore everybody with that today, but that's behind all of this. And whatever this next 90 days is going to be in regard to trades, winning, injuries, good fortune, bad fortune, they better make the playoffs. I mean, let's start with that. There better be at least a couple of playoff games, maybe even if it's a three and out disappointment, whatever it would be. But this feels like one of those years that we haven't had a whole lot of in your lifetime, or certainly in my adulthood.
Right. I mean, it's been those years have been few and far between. I mean, just winning seasons, let alone talking about making the playoffs. I mean,
We haven't had a
it's
lot of
been
all-star games
pretty
right here. We're talking about
sparse.
trading deadlines in the direction where we're going to win a World Series. I mean, dude, we haven't had a whole lot of all-star games at all. I've 25 years here. We've had two, maybe 14 and 16 and 12. We weren't talking about winning the World. They were barely anything in 12. So, I mean, all of these years, this is about all we've had since 1997, literally.
Well, even in 12, and look, they won 93 games in 12, so let's not sell that team too short. But at the All-Star break, there was still a sense of, is this real? Oh, they played so well in the first half, but is this real, or are you waiting for the other shoe to drop? Now I feel at this point, maybe there was a little bit of that going on early in the season. Last year they played so well in the second half, but you still thought, okay, they're young. They didn't have a great offseason on paper. It's not as though they made all these great additions. It was more kind of improvements on the margin. So there was still a sense of, okay, were they a year ahead of schedule last year? And there's going to be a market correction, so to speak, this year. And look, I'm one of many people who thought that might be the case. I thought they'd be a team that would kind of have a similar record to last year, maybe finish a little bit over 500, but not quite be ready for that next step. And boy, they've proved me wrong. There's no question about that. So There's so much excitement in that regard. And when you look at what the next 90 days plus are going to bring, I mean, that's exciting from the standpoint of, at this point now, with it having been a calendar year since they really started playing good baseball. I mean, from the point, you know, early July of last year on, you know, look at what the record is. I mean, it's not just, oh, it's pretty good. No, it's been excellent. It's been among the very best teams in baseball, you know, or at least a fairly short list, let's say. So it's real. And that doesn't mean they're winning the World Series this year, but it's feeling more and more that this isn't just a team. To your point, as you've talked about the Buck era, where, you know, it felt like they had a very limited window in order to do something. And hey, 2014, they were in the ALCS. They were 4 wins
away
from going to
the
World Series.
You know what? In 12, you and I were up there in 12, chasing rats as big as my cat up in the Bronx that night. They lost that game 5 night up there. They could have won the World Series in 12. They're probably, you know, I mean, they could have. I would just say this for them in chasing that mountain. At that time, you could make a case, well, we have good players and we have Cruz and we have all these players. But the Yankees and the Red Sox, the other teams, Tampa, they were all loaded up with future Hall of Famers in many cases. And there was always a, well, we're not really as good as them and we're sort of chasing them. We've been chasing them for 15 years. It feels much more flat now, especially in the AL East. We're like, maybe we're the one with 3 or 4 Hall of Famers on the team all of a sudden. Maybe we'll look back 10 years from now and say we really were the better team, which is why we won. I can look back at those teams 10 years ago and say the Orioles were good enough, but the other teams were really good. And there were some really good teams that didn't win as well during that period of time, the Orioles being one of them. But we're getting in on the front end. We've never really had this, man. Like, I've been here 31 years talking about the Orioles on the radio. I don't remember anything. Even when Machado came in and stuff, it was still like, well, it's really going to be about Chris Day. It's going to be about the other players. No. Here, it's an all-young core, and now we're talking about maybe importing another Kyle Gibson, another 30-something pitcher to come into this. I mean, even the 96-97 Orioles, I mean, Pete Incaviglia, Todd Zeal, all of these guys, Jimmy Key, they weren't Orioles. You know what I mean? Literally. David Wells.
Yeah, I think it's completely backwards from the standpoint of what you just said. At those periods of time, and look, I love the 2014 team. I love the 2012 team. The 1997 team, I mean, 14-year-old Luke thought from the time that they beat the Braves in June, they were winning the World Series. I was convinced. You couldn't have told me anything other than the Orioles winning the World Series that year. So you can imagine how heartbroken I was when they lost to Cleveland in the ALCS. But all of those teams, and really most of my life, I mean, again, I was born in 83. That was the end of the glory years for the Orioles over, you know, nearly 2 decades. But over that time, when they have been good, it's always felt like it's veterans. And can you mix a rookie or two or a young guy or two into the mix to help you. Now it's the exact opposite of that. This team has a core of players, some of them very young, but, you know, even Mullins and Hayes, you know, they're not 30 somethings. These are homegrown guys that have been around.
Nobody here's gotten paid.
You know, even an Anthony Santander.
Right? They don't have anybody here that's gotten paid.
Right. Beyond arbitration, right? I mean, it's, yeah, you know, arbitration, you get the bump, you know, over those 3 years, but it really is a case now of you've got this core of players, and look, they're not all going to be here forever, right? And part of that is what's going to be fascinating is seeing, do the Orioles model the Rays in that way with certain guys? Now, you hope you extend some, right? You know, you don't want this to just be a complete roster churn, but from the standpoint of you might get to a point where you trade a guy, you might have a year or two of club control left, but you trade a guy because, one, you can get a piece to help you somewhere else, and two, you've got his replacement waiting in the minor leagues. So there's going to be some of that. But I think what's exciting, and look, time will tell about payroll, time will tell about free agents, time will tell about all those different things that they either will or will continue to not do in terms of spending money, free agents, all of that. But when you have this kind of core in place, and you talked about how it relates to the rest of the AL East, I kind of think back to where the Yankees were in the mid to late 90s. And of course, you know, they had payroll and they've spent even more after that. And we know that, but they had so many young players. They had Jeter, they had Bernie Williams, they had Jorge Posada, they had Andy Pettitte, they had Mariano Rivera. These guys.
I was gonna
that
say you mentioned Rivera last. I might have put him somewhere in there.
Well, I mentioned him last because he was the closer.
But they
right?
also so bought they... Chuck Knobloch and bought Cecil Fielder and bought Wade Boggs and bought anybody they wanted to buy. And they brought kids in from Cuba on boats and said, "Here, take the ball," El Duque, all of that, right? So they were finding. I mean, it's not a fair game, Luke. I mean, we're gonna sit here and talk football in a couple of weeks where everybody has the same money and same, baseball's not. It's patently unfair. So for all of these years, and especially when you add in really poor ownership, but what you've had here, we still have poor ownership here. We don't have a lease. They can't build anything. So all that being said, this is even more joyous. It really is. I mean, I have enjoyed watching other people have fun with this year more than me. Somebody said to me, "Yeah, you got thrown in." I'm like, I am enjoying you having fun because you're the tortured soul. I've been thrown out for 17 years. I mean, these people are not my family. They're not my friends. I don't know any of them. I think more and more like Adam Jones, I've met him 3 times in my life. Right. So I don't know Austin Hayes. I don't know Adley Rutschman, but you're in there every day. And it's the weirdest thing, especially when you go on vacation and they deny me a press credential. I love that. But all that being said, this is the group you fall in love with. This is the 66 Orioles. This is Aparicio, Powell, Palmer. This is the next generation of that. And they better take, I've said this for months, they really better take advantage of this. Because the Kansas City Royals did, but they didn't. You know what I mean? And I had Jeff Montgomery on a couple weeks ago, who was a part of bad Royals teams, was there through all of the winning, or not all the winning, but the couple of years they won. And then it's flat earth again. That if you win with Moustakas and Hosmer, you win with all those guys, and then they go, and then nobody comes anymore. And I hope that this lease, the city, whatever hoodwinking John's trying to do to steal federal money to fix the city. I mean, it's about the city, but the team's place in that. The team can't fix the city when they're losing 120 games. The team can only be a part of the city when they're winning and they're relevant and when they can recruit people. They haven't recruited me. They've done everything. They pissed in my eye for all my life. But they need to recruit people. And people like me that are pissed off. People like Dennis and Leonard that have finally started to go back to the games again. They need to make you feel like you're a part of this. And maybe the squirt zone. I don't feel a part of it on Friday night when I can't find the game, Luke. I don't feel a part of it. Seriously. And and half of us don't when we're out at a bar and the game's not even on in the bar because the bar can't get it. So this is baseball's effed up. Now they fixed the time of the game. They fixed our franchise because we stunk long enough and brought in a good baseball people that were good. But this next 90 days, I mean, the Ravens are going to start throwing the football around and Lamar's down in Florida having his campy camp and the teammates are all like, we're getting it. The Ravens take up a lot of oxygen. For everybody, once they start playing, this is a real baseball growth summer for this franchise. I hope they take advantage of it.
No question. I think it's very important. Really, I'd say probably the next 2 to 3 years are really where this is most important. Obviously, the lease is going to be built into that. What's going to happen with RSNs in general and in-market streaming and so many of these baseball wide issues.
You couldn't
issues,
get the game, right? You were Wildwood last week and you couldn't get the game, right? Period.
I couldn't on what it was Friday night. I had no cell reception either because of a power outage. But yeah, that's a baseball wide thing. And that impacts the Orioles. And look, ownership, just like they're 30 owners, 30 teams, all of those factors. But you're absolutely right from the standpoint of with this team now entering the competitive window that it's in. And it looks like it could be open for quite a long time if they continue to manage this well. And again, how does payroll factor into that? How does free agency, how do trades, all those things, how do they factor into not just drafting and developing, which is certainly the foundation of everything that they've done and what they are right now. But this is an opportunity for them to not just the lease, not just make the playoffs, but to capitalize on being good and to build something here that can be sustainable. To your point, look, the Royals are a good example, but Let's not misconstrue. They at least won a World Series. There are teams that go through and have a leading period of success, for 2, 3, 4 years, but they don't win and they don't even get to a World Series. And then it's over for a long time again. I mean, you know, the Pirates were that way. They were good for a minute about a decade ago. You know, they made a couple, you know, they made a couple postseasons, but you know, we know what they've been for 30 years now. So it couldn't be more important for this franchise, for this organization to, yes, obviously the lease is there until it's not there anymore, right? Until it's not an issue anymore. We'll continue to talk about that. But you and I have talked so much about not just the lease, not just saying, oh, you're going to be here, but what position are you going to be in? What position is the city going to be in to thrive with what actually can amount to a legitimate partnership if you want to have one? So, yeah, the winning is huge in that. In the same way we talked about, you can't be a leader if you're the worst player on the 26-man roster. The Orioles have such an opportunity here to take back a much larger part of passion, juice, mojo, whatever you want to call it, that the Ravens have just owned for such a long time, in part because it's the NFL and it's king, but also because they've been so much more successful. But they have a great opportunity here. And if you can really continue to play good baseball, make the postseason, win a series, let's say, you know, it doesn't even have to be win the World Series in October, but, you know, get to the divisional round, let's say. Boy, I mean, that's not to say that they're going to supplant the Ravens, because again, the NFL's king anywhere you go, but they can certainly be vying for more attention, vying for more of that electricity that we see when the Ravens are at their absolute best. So it's an exciting time. So this All-Star Week is going to be a nice little respite, but also a nice showcase in Seattle for everything the Orioles have going well. And when they, you know, start the second half of the season with a homestand against Miami and the Dodgers, you know, it's going to be fun. And I mean, this team has so much to play for now and in the coming years. It's really difficult, especially for me, someone who did not live the glory days. I know all about them because I've heard the stories and I've read and all that, but the Orioles have never been in a position like they're in right now, where you look at this thing and say, this feels like something that could be special in the coming years, and not just for 2, 3, 4 years, but for a much longer period of time than that, if they can continue to make smart decisions, if they get the proper backing financially from ownership, if they can keep everyone happy and here from a management perspective, you know, because keep in mind, when you're good, as we've seen with the Ravens, people tend to want people in your front office. So let's keep that in mind as well. But there is just such a wide open opportunity for this club to be not just good, not just make the playoffs, but be special. And dare I say, talk about winning a World Series at some point here over the next 3 or 4 years plus. What more can you ask for, especially when you consider just how bad, just how forgettable it's been largely for most of the last 40 years, if we're being honest.
He is Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke. You can follow him out on the social media places and the Instagrams and the LinkedIns. Did you get your threads together yet? Oh, Luke, you better get your threads together. We're going to be threading here before it's threading the needle here and tweeting off the tweet. We're going to be at Coco's on Thursday doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I'll be giving away the Instant Lottery Scratch. I'll still have a handful. This has been a pretty lucky batch, the 50th anniversary. We're going to get some freshies for August the 3rd. This week, we are at Coco's from 2 to 5 on Thursday, the 13th. The 20th, we're going to be at the Beaumont in Catonsville next week. I might even have a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer joining us there. And then on August 3rd, we're celebrating our 25th anniversary at Costas. And on August 4th, we're going to go bonus time over Drug City. Two chances to stop by, grab a Get Nasty shirt, grab a copy of Purple Rain 1 or 2, steal a lottery ticket from me, get a milkshake at the fountain at Drug City, or get some crab soup or whatnot at Costas. I'm going to have some peach cake before it's all over with. That is the 3rd and 4th of August, celebrating 25 years. If you have memories, if you have pictures, if you have swag of any kind, I'd love to see it. So throw me a note, Ness at BaltimorePositive.com. You can always find Luke at Baltimore Luke and Luke at WNST.net. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baseball, crab cakes, home run derbies, and a little bit of Baltimore positive. Stay with us.